Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
The proposed digital euro gives spending power to for those without banks and to have a currency which can bypass the giant American card companies such as Visa and American Express. It's only an idea at the moment, but we could all be spending digital euros before the end of the decade. But do we need it? Atsa Faz is a payments advisor with Eurocommerce, which represents Europe's retailers, and is on the line. Good morning, Atsa.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you explain to us what the digital euro is?
Well, in its simplest form, it's the digital form of our current physical cash. You know, it's issued by central bank, so it's public good. It's in essence, a way for citizens to pay online and in-store digitally rather than with physical cash.
Mm. And banks can be bypassed.
Well, not banks. So the banks will have a crucial role in the distribution and the, processing of digital euros that are accepted with retailers. But what will be bypassed or, not needed are what you mentioned in the intro, the likes of Visa and MasterCard. Mm. And it's not to say that we won't need Visa and MasterCard anymore. I think they have a great products and a role to play. But, there's a different tool for a different job. And for some of those jobs, the digital euro will be right.
Okay. And who creates the digital euro and who administers it?
So it will be created like cash by the European Central Bank, the euro system, as they call it. So they are the issuer, if you will. It will be distributed by what they call intermediaries, which is a word for banks and payment service providers. In the back end, like with the settlement system that the central bank operates for credit transfers, is the European Central Bank who has the ledger, if you will, of all the digital euros.
Mm. They will have to obviously monitor that it's not abused and it's not stolen and all that. What uses will the digital euro have? I.e., what's the concrete benefit that consumers could see if and when the digital euro is introduced?
Well, I think there's about three. So one of them is it's likely to be at lower cost and it will translate in lower consumer prices. I think an important element to mention is that it is, the data stays in Europe. In the case of American Visa transactions, they are American companies. If bad things happen, U.S. authorities will have or can gain access to those transaction data. Digital euro will be quite anonymous. The European Central Bank is not interested whether Atsa Faz buys a hamburger every week, which I don't, by the way. but there's a level of, anonymization, aggregation. Of course, the Central Bank needs to know which money goes where, make those settlements, but they're not interested in individual transactions.
I presume this all costs money. Who will end up paying for this? I mean, the establishment of it will be covered, I'm guessing, by the ECB, but the day-to-day administering of the digital euro and the maintaining of the wallets, that all costs money, and the banks won't want to pay that.
Well, true. And, unfortunately, we have let consumers believe that payments are for free in the last, couple of decades. However, payments cost money. But it's our belief, and actually we need the digital euro to be cheaper, in terms of cost than any other digital payment method. Now, of course, the introduction of it will cost some money. You hear varying amounts. Some say, like the European Central Bank, it's something like 1.5 billion euro, the introduction cost and running cost. Other studies are going as high as something like 18 billion. And our point would be, in the overall scheme of things, if you look at the defense of Europe, if we are prepared to spend 800 billion on rearm Europe or 800 billion on making Europe more competitive, even if it were 18 billion euro to introduce digital euro, it's a line of defense. It's peanuts, relatively speaking.
And Eurocommerce represents retailers throughout the continent. Do they want this?
Well, yes, and you know, everybody struggles with explaining, even I to my friends and family, you know, what is the digital euro? Most people say, I already have digital euro on my credit card or on my bank account. So it's not an easy job to explain it. But the merchants, you know, retailers, wholesalers, but also from other sectors, you know, we're working with the airlines and with electronic e-commerce retailers. So we are keen to have it to lower the average cost of payments. You know, we've only seen that going up, even though there was, you know, the capping of the card fees, still they have been going up. So it's important to have a way to reduce costs in the overall scheme of things, but also to create this level of resilience. You know, we're very afraid, like we've seen with the outage in Spain and Portugal, or like we're seeing with internet cables being cut, that there will be a moment in time where payments might not be possible. The digital euro has that resilience function. And, you know, the last thing we want is to have a panic amongst consumers because they can't buy their daily needs anymore.
What sort of timeline are we looking at here? Is it still only at the negotiation stage? And does it have to be introduced by the Commission and then approved by the Council, etc.?
So the Commission made their proposal to enable the digital euro in 23. But the co-legislators, so that's the Parliament and the Council, are only now, let's say, in preparing their negotiation positions. The Danish presidency of the Council currently wants to come with a negotiation position by the end of this year. But I think the Parliament will need until the middle of next year. So that's going to take a while. I think the ECB is in a better place. They're, you know, the rule book is already in a pretty good stage, and they're looking for suppliers who can do the job, you know, provided, of course, legislation is passed. So I was asked last week, you know, when would be the earliest? I said 28. But then half an hour later, Mr. Cipollone of the ECB said, well, it's more looking like 29. So I stand corrected.
But it could be before the end of the decade, and that is in 5 years' time. It could be very interesting. And thank you very much for explaining it to us, Atsa. That's Atsa Faas, a payments advisor to Eurocommerce, which represents Europe's retailers.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.